Hi, Grace.
Hey, girl.
Hi, Grace. Hi,
Grace.
Hi.
How you doing, Grace?
Fabulous. How are you two, Cossacks?
We're great. We're great.
I knew it.
I can't believe it's that this is number the 77th show, and this is the first time either one of my daughters has been on for any extended period.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Grace.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I don't want to know. I'm scared.
It has to do with the theme of the show. Did you know that tug of war used to be in the Olympics?
Yes, I did know that.
Dang it. All right. Did you know? Here's another one. Did you know that artists used to compete in the Olympics?
Yeah. Sculpture, architecture. Yeah.
All right. Before we get this show started, I got one more, and I'm. If you know it, that's super impressive, but I bet you don't know it.
Okay.
Did you know that chimpanzees call the population of rival clans by stealing their babies and eating them?
I did not know that. And I don't want to know that. Why do you do this to me?
No, you need to know that. That's nature.
It's okay. I don't need to know about nature.
Fine. The last one has nothing to do with nature. Did you know about 100 people choke on pens each year in the U.S.?
What are you what kind of podcast is this? Make your own, did you know?
So there's two things there that you learned tonight on the show. You're welcome.
Okay.
The chimpanzees, I mean, they got to thin the gangs. Mm-hmm. They got to kill their young and eat them.
Okay.
All right, we should start the show.
Yes.
Don't forget that those seals
are
raging.
Okay, got it.
Pending.
Got it.
All right. Grace, I'm going to warn you. I hate the number 7, but here we go.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Grace, it's episode number 77, and no words rhyme with this dumb number. So I'm just going to sit here and gnaw on my cucumber. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Shame that people can't see behind the scenes. Like, the people can't see your cucumber. Absolutely. I mean, we do have a lot of folks who listen in on the podcast, and we do have the show live. We put it live on YouTube so you can watch our beautiful faces, but we understand that many of you are out on a run, and that's okay. But
no, it's not okay. No, they should schedule their runs.
Shame them.
Yeah, they need to be.
Stop podcast shaming people.
All
right. And you do have a beautiful cucumber. And it's also a shame. I do a lot of dancing during that intro, which you can't see, even if you watch the YouTube show, because we play our graphics.
What you're saying is it can never be brought to the light of day.
Correct.
Everything is, yeah. Dang. Yeah. We got to have a, yeah.
Let's get into this. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Not as busy as yours.
Mm-hmm.
I did my first 5K in exactly 1 year because I did the same 5K last year at the same weekend. So, mm-hmm. As was last year, it showed me how out of shape I am for 5K, mm-hmm. the 5K distance race.
Huh? How did you do? Did you hit your goal?
I didn't have a goal.
Okay.
Basically, the only reason I signed up was because it was cheaper for us to sign up as a family of four than it was for like two of us to sign up. So I was kind of forced to do it. But
I mean,
it worked. Yeah.
That's cool.
Actually, I did well. I mean, I was happy with how I ran. Nowhere near last year. But one of my cross country boys beat me one overall. And Lauren was the first female. So
fabulous. Congratulations, Lauren.
Thank you.
Yeah. For those that don't know and are tuning in live, this beautiful thing next to me is my oldest daughter, Lauren. She's here to talk all things Olympics.
Yeah, we, Lauren and I, if you didn't hear, I mentioned this on a previous episode. We were at Eastern States, and of course, Eric and Becky were making food for everybody after Eastern States was canceled during the big impromptu party that they decided to cook out for everybody. And I was walking up and I ended up talking to Lauren for a little bit. And we had like a good 20, 25 minute conversation about the Olympics. And I said, we should just have this as an episode. Cause your dad doesn't pay attention to the Olympics much, right?
Nope. Well, I did a lot more this year because she was so into it.
But I like to I'll be like, guys, do you know this person did this and this person did this? And they don't even know who I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Yeah. So in order, and same, I don't know a lot of people who are watching, and you probably know more about it than I do. But nevertheless, we still get to talk about the Olympics tonight, which will be pretty cool.
Yeah. But first, I want to talk about your weekend first.
Yeah.
You, Miss Race Director, had a race this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Slopeside Slumber Party, and it was all over my Facebooks, I gotta tell you. All the people I know that I follow were there. They were all saying how great it was and beforehand, and you had people I know out there parking cars, I think. put them to work. Good for you.
Yeah, we had a really good weekend. It was Slopeside Slumber Party. This was year 3. And I think that growing organically is just a great way to grow a race. And I have some just special little quirks about this race that I like to put into it. It's my own little creation. Whereas I've been race directing the Dallastown 10K, which I call baby race directing because it's part of a series, and the series race director, she does a lot of the work. But I've been doing that for, I think, 7 years. So this was my first big creation. I've done some little, fat ass stuff on my own, but this was my first big one. And so being in year 3 feels good. Little small touches. I like to keep and I think this is a lot, if not all, of the trail race directors down here in York County like to keep the race registration very affordable. That's a big part of it. Personally, I like to keep the swag something that's usable. So this year we did laundry bags and it came with little laundry sheets. So they all smell good.
Nice.
and like to keep the atmosphere real fun. This particular event is good for family because you can see your people pretty often. The course is only a mile and a half, although it has about 600 feet of gain within half a mile. But it's a fun course, and we try to have games, and we have a big bonfire and adult beverages and food, and we try to keep it real fun.
Now it's the race is from 8 to 11. How long does the after party actually last?
Oh, there's no after party. No, there's kind of some pre-party. Yeah. I do rent out a group campsite 10 minutes away. So if you are bringing the family from farther away, you can camp for the whole weekend, Friday through Sunday, for free at Pincho. And that's a nice state park. There's no big after party. A lot of people come early, or some people will just run a couple of loops and then hang out.
Right.
Yeah. Which is smart. Lipsy came, Matt Lipsy. Most people in Pennsylvania have heard the name, and he's a big fan of Round Top. He goes there to uphill in the winter. And so he came, and I think he did it correctly. He understood the assignment, which was do 2 loops really fast. I think he finished 2 loops in 23 minutes, and then just hang out for the rest of the time. So that was the correct way to run that race.
Yeah, sounds like it. That sounds like that's right. That's exactly what he always does, stuff like that.
Yeah. He went up to the top with his bugle and cheered on the other runners. And I thought that was, he's always a good sport. So that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. You want to hear about our top 3?
Yeah.
You know some of these people.
Go.
Yeah. On the men's side, we had Trevor, who was, of course, on the show, third place. He had gotten first place at World's End. Yep. And then Ben Lin was in second, and Jason Rimmer was in first. And I did look at the results, and Jason Rimmer had won first at the spring event that is also at Round Top. That's Jason Logue's race. Jason Logue, who runs Run PA, he's also a local race director. Yep. So he does a spring race that's a different format, but it's at the same location. So Jason Rimmer, he won both of them. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the women's side, Lisa DiNardo came in third. Kelly Ammon came in second. And then Katie Bixler, who we also had on the show, came in first.
God, we must have all the cool people on this show.
Yeah. And yeah. Katie was also third overall. Katie got a course record. And also Jason, by 30 seconds, got a course record over by 30 seconds over Jim Blanford, who just killed it last year. So we still don't have anybody who's done 13 loops. 12 loops is the most, just that Jason did it a little bit faster. Jason and Ben were battling it out. Like they were between 30 to 60 seconds apart most of the time. It was a pretty intense race.
Yeah, over 3 hours, it comes down to 30 seconds. I would say that's pretty intense.
Yeah, the whole time. Well, toward the end, Ben backed off and Trevor backed off. But through most of the race, they were 40 seconds apart on a couple of their loops. It was wild. Yeah, it was crazy fast at the front of the pack. There was a lot of partying happening in the back of the pack. There's some great footage. Jim Blanford came to hang out again. This is, he understood the assignment. Like he came, he won last year. He came this year just to hang out. And he went up the hill. He did some video of people coming down the hill. And I forget who it was. It might've been Andy. They had descriptions of all the people coming, of all the techniques to come down the hill. Cause you come down a double black diamond and it's just a brutal descent at the very, very top. And some people use poles, some people crab walk, some people do a reverse crab walk. So you go backwards on your feet first, but you go backwards downhill. And there was apparently one person just coming down with a beer and they did not spill it, which was impressive. So that is fun footage, and we're just about ready to post the photos, and you can kind of see it's a pretty cool climb, and it's the highest, you know, down here in southern Pennsylvania, our climbs just aren't as big, but it is the highest point in York County, so that's pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Marisa, I don't believe you until I see it. Marisa's commenting into the chat. She said, way to go, Katie. She also said, yeah, boy. I think that is an Olympics reference. And she also said front flips all the way down the Simone. I have not seen that yet, Marisa, but you can certainly be the first if you sign up next year. So,
yeah.
And I think one of the things, just for the record, that makes this a really fun event is all the volunteers. I had a really fantastic group, about 20 volunteers. We put people at the top of the climb. And at the bottom of the climb, they're just cheering, plus the aid station, plus registration, plus parking, because it's easy for people to get confused with parking because there's two different entrances. So the volunteers really make it a fun, fun, hyped up event.
Nice. Well, I'm glad it went off without a hitch, and sure sounds like it's going to happen next year at one point or another, or one weekend or another.
Yeah, and we try to time it along with Labor Pains. Labor Pains is a race that's been around for a long time down here in South Central Pennsylvania. I have a lot of respect for that race. And this one, it's also a looped course. It's a 12-hour. And this one is 3 weeks prior. So it's kind of a good last big push before Labor Pains.
Labor Pains is on the Sunday of Labor Day, right? Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's right.
We quickly mentioned the possibility of coming down for that because it's always been on our to-do list.
Yeah, it gets a great turnout, and the folks over there, they put on some really, really great races. There's quite a few race directors out there who just, they've been doing it a long time. They know what they're doing. They do a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I always hear good things. That always looks fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Olympics, it just ended last Monday. It seems like it's been a while ago already. But it was. I don't know if you have the medal count of anywhere for what it, how it went.
Did you see medals?
Medal count.
In track and field, the U.S. won 34 medals.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to be. I'm pretty sure tonight we're going to be heavily focused on the track and field part of the Olympics because that's what we like to watch and focus on.
Yeah.
But there was some other cool stuff. I love watching the volleyball. I think it's phenomenal how freaking good those people are. What else do I love? The breakdancing I didn't get to see. I don't.
Except the whole viral clip.
Yeah, except that one.
Yeah.
Gymnastics is always a hit for me. I just think it's impressive what they do.
Yeah.
And obviously the running. So. I mean, you're this isn't a competition. I'm surprised you didn't make this into a competition of like who's more between you and Lauren, but you're kind of,
No, we just enjoyed talking to each other and it's cool to talk to somebody else and get their thoughts on it because there's some things that she knows that I didn't know. I think I probably knew a couple of things too. And that's always cool to hear even more about the Olympics that you didn't know before, you know?
Yeah,
I like it.
Exactly. So where do we want to start? I mean, what events through the week, what event was in track and field was first?
I mean, I know my answer to this question, but I want to start with this, Lauren. What event were you most excited to see before the Olympics started?
Oh, gosh. So let's see. Obviously, the 100 meters, because, you know, they're fast and we have good runners in the U.S. right now in those. Mm-hmm. And then obviously like the 5K, the 10K.
Yeah.
I didn't ever sit down and watch the marathon, but
yeah,
I also for all of this, I get most of my information from Instagram. So
yeah, there's some good information out there though. And I got a shout out to another podcast that I listen to, which is Nobody Asked Us by Des Linden and Kara Goucher. And that's where I got a lot of my information because they were there at the Olympics. They were doing commentating. So it was really cool to hear their perspective on stuff. But and then I went to NBC Sports. They have a lot of the videos posted online. And some of these are just phenomenal to watch. Same as you, I was most excited to see the women's 100 meter because I wanted to see Sha'Carri Richardson. We all know that she did not participate in the last Olympics. That was unfortunate. She's been killing it. I think she's phenomenal. I really love that she lets her confidence shine. And I wanted to see her go kill it on the women's 100 meter. Of course, she got silver, which I think she was the favorite for gold. She didn't hit the gold, although I'm going to say she's still young. She still has a lot of runway ahead of her. And I think she still did an awesome job. So I was excited to see that one.
And it was Julian Alfred from St. Lucia that got first. And that was really cool. Anytime you see somebody like a lot of people, at least in the United States, had never really heard of her. So it was the first medal for her country. So that was really cool still.
Yeah. The footage was wild to see back from her home country. They were like going nuts. And that was an awesome, like, if anybody's going to beat Sha'Carri Richardson, make it be somebody who just really seemed to do an awesome job and was well celebrated. So I still call that a really great event to watch. That's definitely on some of my top ones. If you're going to go back and watch any of these videos, I think that's one to watch. I love Sha'Carri. I hope she comes back and she wins gold. I can't wait to see what else she does. And she seemed to really take it in stride because Then there was the women's relay, and she brought up the end of the relay. And of course, women's, what was it? Was it the 400 meter?
Yeah, that was the 400 relay, the 4x1.
Yeah, the 4x1 relay. Sha'Carri did the last leg, and of course, women took gold.
Yes. Which, and I thought another really cool thing was for the US, in a lot of events, we got like 1 in 3 or 2 in 3. Like, we didn't just have one person place, we had two people place, which is really cool. Because even when Sha'Carri didn't get first, she got second. We had an American get third. So like, that was really cool.
That was insane. And you could see, like, I think, I don't know, I didn't watch the finals, like the qualifiers. I didn't watch any of that, but I think it just shows how much the US put into that to get so many people at the finals. Jamaica was real similar. You saw a lot of people from Jamaica representing. So I don't know. It was a lot fun to watch. And I think another one, I mean, one of the biggest talked about was Noah Lyles, who again, two US men on the podium. And usually I just end up watching women's track and field, but the men did really well this year.
Yes. And also Noah Lyles only won by 0.005 seconds in the 100. Because of it's the chest that counts, which, I mean, us distance runners don't really know much about that, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that one was a photo finish. It's definitely one of the top videos to go back and watch, because you can see, who was it who had the foot forward? Was that Jamaica?
Yeah, I think
Yeah, I think it was Jamaica had the foot forward, but he had his chest forward. And it took them like 30 seconds to figure out who won.
Yeah, even the commentators, they thought a different person won. So that was crazy.
That was wild. Now, what did you think about, did you watch his entrance?
Yeah, that one's another viral clip.
What did you think about his entrance? What was your opinion?
It's cool. I think it gets him hyped up, which, I mean, is good, but it might be a little over the top.
I think you already said, Grace, that the US 100 runners don't have any problem exuding confidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you exude that much confidence,
he won. He won.
He did win.
Yeah. Now, here's. This was interesting. I kind of love the confidence. I love the big jump that he did.
It was a fun show.
And I watched just today an extended clip of Noah Lyles. And it was like a 7-minute clip of him ahead of time and then all the way after. And so if you keep watching after he wins, like when he first wins, he's in the camera. He's like, USA, I told you I would do it and everything. But then he goes over to the crowd and he hugs, it looks like his mom, his grandma, and like a sister, but it's family members. It's all probably strong women in his life. And he just like buries his head into them. And I'm like, he's being real grateful right now. That's what's happening. And that was a sweet, sweet moment to see that. I think in all the clips, they didn't show any of that. So that was interesting, you know?
Yeah. And in his interviews, like, he talks about how he really feeds off that energy. And I mean, sometimes he does get some hate for being cocky, but some of the things he says, it's what gets attention to track and field, like the different things. And then even though sometimes that causes some controversy, that's why people pay attention to track and field. So,
yeah. It was cool. It brought me down some different rabbit holes too, because one of the things that I do in my morning routine is I sit and watch TikTok while I eat breakfast. And there was a video of him and somebody was talking about this hand signal that he put up. And I went down this rabbit hole. I'm like, what is that? Turns out it's an anime reference. And there were several references to anime. My daughter loves anime. She's also an animator. She's going to school in her senior year at art school. And so I thought that was just really fun too, that there were several athletes throughout the Olympics who were just having fun with it with their favorite cartoons that they watch. So I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, so it led me down some rabbit holes that I probably wouldn't have been down had he not been so over the top.
Yeah. And then Noah Lyles then got COVID and then got bronze in the 200 meter, which that was crazy because, you know, the famous quote he said about the 200 being his wife and the 100 being his mistress.
So, I did not hear that. That's great.
Yeah, that's another one of those viral ones. Yeah. Which is because he started out as a 200 meter runner, more than a 100 meter runner. So it's kind of crazy to see him get gold in the 100, but bronze in the 200. But he did have COVID. So.
Yeah. And I didn't understand why that makes sense now, because I didn't understand why some of the media was sounding like it was a disappointment for him in the 200 meter. I'm like, first off, didn't he run the 100 meter first?
Yeah, but the 200 is his baby. The 100 is the hard one. He did awesome. And again, I guess it's COVID, but he was expected to get gold in the 200.
Yeah. Still, getting bronze is great. And the gold that he got, that was a personal record for him. So that gold, you know, not only was it a gold medal, but it was also a personal record for him. So he really pushed himself the day before. So I don't know. I say good on Noah. He did good. And he did tell the Olympic committee about having COVID before he ran. So that's also something I think that was wishy-washy in the media. He was very honest about it, so good on him for being honest.
Yes, because people thought he was making excuses, which he did say he had COVID before it. So
yeah, maybe he was. I don't know. It was fun to watch.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it meant, and the whole men's field was apparently one of the tightest races ever. I mean, it was a gold medal for Noah, but everybody was right behind him.
Yeah, it was like the first time that like a sub 10 second didn't get into the final or something like that. Like it was like the fastest final ever. So
insane. Marisa also put into the chat, how about that Gabby Thomas? A phenomenal race. I mean, if there's another one to watch out there, it's Gabby.
Yeah, and she's well known for track and just being a good person. And she got gold in the 200 and then also ran well in the 4x1 and the 4x4. So,
yeah, I thought she did amazing. It was really cool to watch her. I also liked watching the women's, what is it called? The 4x4 for relay.
Yeah, we had a relay sweep, at least on the girls' side, for the 4x1 and the 4x4. So
yeah, and the 4x4 was also awesome to watch. McLaughlin Lavroni, who won she beat her own record for the hurdles, insane. Then she went on to support the relay, which I believe Gabby was also in the 4x4 relay, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was just such a strong team.
Yeah. Sydney McLaughlin, she ran like a super fast split in the 4x4. Like if she wanted to focus on the open 400, she would be meddling in that event too. So, well, yeah, she's just so crazy in the 400 hurdles. Like she wins by like multiple seconds. And if you were like, if you had a world lead by like multiple seconds in the 1500 or whatever, that'd be crazy. And it's literally a 400 race. She's just so fast.
And it's like, you think about the mentality of what kind of mindset do you have to be in? So not only are you way ahead everybody else in the hurdles, and then you think, oh, well, the motivation might be to get an Olympic record, right? But she already has the Olympic record. So she's literally only running just to beat her own time, which is the record. So you really have to be motivated to, I'm going to do my absolute, I'm going to put out my best performance that I can today. And I just like, good on her for doing that. That's such a great mindset. It's as if she was the only racer out there and she still put out her best effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a good time to get away from track and field a little bit and just mention like Katie Ledecky, who has to do the same. If you've seen the records that she has, like she has the top 25 in one race and they're all hers. I mean, like, so you're racing yourself, a ghost of yourself every time. And if anybody's ever done that, it's so much harder than running, racing at somebody else. Yeah. Nuts.
Katie Ledecky, phenomenal. Another one that if you're going to watch anything outside of track and field, oh man, so cool.
Yeah, and back with Sydney McLaughlin, like she, I think she's trying to break 50 seconds, which would actually be crazy. She's she ran like a 50.3 something at the Olympics, set a new world record. At least the idea by most people is that she's trying to break 50, and then she'll focus on like the flat 400 or the 200, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So let's see, working up through distances, I guess.
Sure.
The 800, wait, 4x4, well, 4x4 mixed relay, the United States set a world record in the like prelims. It wasn't even the final, but in the prelims we set a world record, so.
Yeah, we did amazing in relay. We did amazing in hurdle. And I think that was really cool to come out this year to do so well in both of those. And before we move up in distances, I want to talk about the men's hurdle, the men's 110 meter hurdle. What was the guy's name? That's going to drive me nuts. He got the Grant Holloway. Mm-hmm. So Grant Holloway, if you went back and watched him before at Sydney, I think it was it Sydney or it was Tokyo, when he did the 110 at Tokyo. So you watch Grant Holloway, he's ahead through all of the hurdles. And after the hurdles are complete, the guy from Jamaica beats him at the very end. Oh man. And it was like, he had it. And then he ended up getting silver that year. So he came back this year and he got the gold for the hurdles. And so like, great way to learn and come back stronger this year. And he took it for the men's 110 hurdles. So good on him.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Somebody mentioned that Sydney's hurdle time qualified for the Olympic Open 400. So like, she's just so like, so much faster than everybody else. Like normally on a, like a world stage, even if you're like really, really good, you're not that much faster than the next person, but she's just like, so far, so fast.
Yeah. We're so used to in the Olympics, seeing everybody tight together because this is the best of the best of the best of the best on their best day. And to see Katie Ledecky and to see Sydney so far ahead. And it's interesting because they have to pan out with the camera. And if you listen to the commentators during Sydney's hurdles, they have to remember like, oh, we should probably talk about second, third, and fourth because they're really tight together. And obviously Sydney's just going to win.
Yeah. So in the 800, I don't think we had anybody medal. We had, well, so Juliet Whitaker, I follow her. She runs for Stanford. She made it to the finals, which was crazy. She just finished her sophomore year in college. So she's really young. Mm-hmm. And she made it to the final and got like a crazy PR. So that was exciting for me.
Nice.
Yeah, now the 1500.
Yeah.
Cole Hawker.
Oh, man.
My favorite race of the whole thing.
Insane. I mean, this is going to be probably my top pick for a video to watch. If you're going to watch a video of any of the performances in the Olympics across all of the sports, it's Cole Hawker.
And it's the race was one thing, but it was the fact that Ingrid Bixen and what's the other guy's name?
Josh Kerr.
Josh Kerr, like, if anybody follows any of this stuff, the past year has been like highlighting those two kind of going back and forth and this rivalry, and it's nobody's race but their own, and like everybody else is just nothing. The fact that our boy beat those two and shut them down is just amazing to me.
Yeah. Now, I will say that Kara Goucher called it, and she called it as a possibility. They were talking about it the day before, her and Des Linden, and she said that he has a really good kick at the end, and if Cole wants it, he could potentially take the whole thing, and then he did. So I think there were at least he believed in himself enough to put all the noise out, because all the media, you're right, was about those two, and it was going to be one of the two, and which one is it going to be? And nobody was talking about Cole. And good on him for ignoring the media and saying, you know what, I know I can kick at the end, because he didn't give up. He stayed steady, and he was quite a bit behind, and then he kept steadily moving up, and then he just kicked it at the end, and he won the whole thing.
Yeah, he ran his own race, and it was so it was so beautiful to watch. It was so pretty.
He ran his own race, and then the other guy who also did well.
Negus.
Yeah.
Yep. That was super amazing. Exciting too, because like even though he isn't as talked about as Cole Hawker, like he still medaled when he wasn't really expected to. He like people knew he had a chance, but not really. And he beat Inga Brixton. So yeah, that was really crazy.
Oh, that was awesome. It was just a really, really cool moment, and just makes you wanna believe in other people and believe in yourself a little bit more. Now, I did not follow 5K or 10K nearly as closely as you did. So tell us about those two.
So 5K for the women's, I think we had Carissa Schweitzer got like ninth place. I know she got top 10 in both the 5K and the 10K. So that was super exciting.
Yeah, that's now, hard.
Yes. Now, crazy thing, 5K, 10K for the men, Grant Fisher got bronze in both, medal in both. That was crazy. Like, especially the 10K is so much of like Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. So
it was crazy. Super exciting. It had been a while since an American had done that. So
yeah, insane. And it makes you wonder, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too. There seems to be at least a bit of a mindset shift in the world of sport, especially in the world of endurance sport. And there is more of a focus on things like recovery as a strategic advantage. And I wonder if that might be part of it, part of what's allowing people to win multiple medals in a sport that is incredibly taxing on your entire body. You know, it's highly aerobic, it's highly muscular. And I'm interested in whether our focus on recovery and a mindset shift in sport is what's contributing to it.
Well, I mean, if that's the direction we're going, that's the direction the U.S. at least has to go in the 5K, 10K marathon distances from everything I read. Everything, if you read anything about the training, it's basically the U.S. is always pretty good, but we're never the best because we have this mindset that we have to go out and pound, 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 pound when Ethiopians, for lack of a better word, all the ones that are always at the top, aren't necessarily, you know, that regimented on just hammering out those workouts. I'm sure they are to our eyes, but in the big scheme of things, the U.S. just doesn't let their runners recover per se as much as all the other runners do. And it shows in the big stage all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And you hear more and more about this, about keep your easy runs easy and log a lot of miles, but don't log a lot of tempo miles, a lot of hard miles. Like, don't go hard every single time. It's not benefiting you. And keep your easy runs easy, keep your hard runs hard. And we hear that more and more and more often. And yeah, I think you're seeing it. And another place where you're seeing it is in the Netherlands. I mean, people talk about the Netherlands and how good they are at running because they're giving some of the other countries a run for their money, like Kenya and Jamaica. And the Netherlands is doing really well because they did well in the 5K, Hassan Safwan, and also did well, very well, in the marathon. That was a cool finish. And so real quick, Marisa asked what the 5K first place time was. It was 14:28 for the women's. And Hassan Safwan finished in 14:30 for the 5K. So she bronzed in the 5K and then turned around and won the gold in the marathon.
And bronze in the 10K.
Insane.
Bronze, 5K, and 10K, and a gold in the marathon.
Crazy. Like, that's phenomenal. And I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? Where do you think that's coming from?
The Safwan Hassan and the three events?
Yeah.
I think it's crazy. Well, so she originally was going to also run the 1500. And she was going to be like, I think she's going to be like the first person to attempt to do like all four of those distance events.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decided to focus on the three, which was definitely best, you know, because mm-hmm. I had seen like a couple times where people posted like what the schedule would actually be if you did all four. It was insane. It was insane doing three. But I guess it just shows that she's on like the next level and that she's capable of doing that. It's also interesting, like, if she wouldn't have done the 5K, would she have gotten gold or silver in the 10K? I don't know if that'd be vice versa, but still, like, right. It's interesting, but she really showed that she could go out there and do all three of them, so.
That's just phenomenal. That's so awesome. Chibet had won the 5K for the women's, and I think that was kind of expected. I mean, Chibet's been doing really well for the past year, at least year, 2 years, across the world stage. So I think that was pretty, that wasn't a surprise when she came out and took the gold for the 5K. Good on her. Great performance. I think, but I think everybody was like, yep, yeah, that's exactly what we thought was going to happen.
And then did she also win the 10K?
I think you're right. And she's just a phenomenal runner. I think she's at a really good spot in her life right now. And she keeps winning race after race, and good on her.
Yes.
Yeah. She did win the 10K with a time of 30:43.
Which 10K went out really slow, was a very slow race, and a very fast last 400. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Parker Valby. Amazing. Love her. She just graduated college. She's young. Yep. Made it to the Olympics. Actually made it in the 5K and the 10K, but only ran in the 10K. Mm-hmm. And I want to say she got like 12th or something, but it was really cool. It was a very slow race. And at one point she did make a move and take the lead. And everybody responded to the lead, but it was cool just to show like she could be competitive on the world stage, being as young as she is. That was really cool. I love Parker Valby.
Yeah. And you saw the strategy across a couple of different events. We saw this as well in the men's relay, where we had the youngest gold medalist for track and field or for running. I'm not sure. He was what, 17?
He is 16. He's 16. And he raced in the semifinals. He was the first leg. He did not run his best race, caused a unnecessary amount of controversy, dumb amount of controversy. He went out there, he ran at the Olympics. He's like probably less than a year older than me. It's crazy. And because our team, our 4x4 won gold in the finals, he was a gold medalist because he helped our team. So.
Yep. 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 So if you help out in the, what do they call it, the semifinals?
Yeah. Well, there's the prelims and then the
prelims.
And then, yes.
Yeah. So he helped out earlier on, which made him still a gold medalist. And I like this strategy of pulling in these young folks, getting them used to a world stage, getting them used to, frankly, if it hadn't gone well and getting them used to having a bad day, that there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, just getting used to being out there in a really, really big race and still trying your best. So I like this strategy by US, and I think it's a good thing. We see young folks in other sports that are probably, I don't know if you'd say more harsh on your body, but gymnastics, we tend to see them pretty young in the Olympics. And that's just as harsh on the body, I think, as track and field. So they're strong. And they can do it.
Yeah, the gymnastics is a big place where that whole age thing is really changing. I want to say the average age for our team this year was like 22.
Yeah. And
in the past, it's been like 16.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see that. I didn't even notice that dynamic, but you're spot on. I mean, Simone is in the world of giant gymnastics. She's aging out, and she just won a ton of gold medals. So it was great to see her continuing to compete. It was great to see some other comebacks. We saw, I don't know, how much did you watch of the non-running events? Some of those were fun.
Yeah. Long jump with Tara Davis.
Oh,
I love her. You know, she's amazing. Big on social media, so I watched a lot of that. And she won gold. It was amazing. So
another great one to watch. And with the long jump, do you get three jumps? Is that right?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah, I think you get three jumps. All three of her jumps were just spot on, incredible. I thought that I don't know. It was a cool video to watch. It was a great performance to watch. She ran over and hugged her other half, whether it's boyfriend, husband, I'm not sure. And it was just cool to see. She was so happy at the end.
Yeah, her husband, he's competing in the Paralympics. That starts on the 28th, I think. So that's basically the Olympics, just different and fun to watch. So everybody watch that.
Yeah, it's I'm already starting to see videos for the Paralympics, which look pretty exciting. And with technology today, it's going to get more and more exciting. So I think, you know, wheelchair marathon is going to be one to watch because there are some super strong athletes there. I don't know. It's going to be fun. But men's shot put was really fun to watch. Third gold medal for US. We did really well in the men's shot put, and I believe we also took silver, so that was fun to watch.
Yeah, so real quick, jumping back to the 1500.
Yes.
Ellie St. Pierre, she's amazing. She wears her big sunglasses, and she also is a mother. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love seeing it. She had a great performance. Another great one to watch. And we had a few moms, and I don't remember. There was, and you probably know a little bit more about this because I know you mentioned it when we had our earlier conversation. There's the nursery now in the village, right?
Allison Felix founded the nursery. And so that was super cool because, you know, generally it's a common thought that once you become a mother, like, you can't be really good at sports and that kind of thing. So that was really cool.
Yeah. And so it was great to see that, you know, it can be expensive to, it depends on the country. Not everybody can pay their own way. So then you have to bring extra people with you to watch the kids, or you have to have somebody watch them back at home. And so founding that nursery seems simple, but can make a huge difference, I think, for some of these athletes. So that was really exciting. I enjoyed seeing, this was, I think I talked to you about this a little bit. I enjoyed seeing this one particular bout in women's fencing. I never watched fencing before. And this bout hit social media because there was a woman who did well. And she was 7 months pregnant while she was in her bout. And it was cool to see. I did not know that screaming is a thing in fencing. Like, they scream. Really? Did you know this?
No.
Not till you told me.
Oh my gosh. Did you watch any of the videos yet?
No.
It's wild. So screaming, you're like, it's a thing that's normal. Like, not everybody does it, I guess. And they don't always do it with every bout. But if there is a bout that is particularly important or something like that, then they'll scream. And that's part of it. It's kind of, for some people, it hypes them up. For some people, like, they're trying to sway the judge in their favor. And there was a particular bout that was pretty evenly matched. And when you're evenly matched, I mean, I think that's when you get your best performance, right? And so it was a bout that was pretty evenly matched. And then the woman who was 7 months pregnant, she won that bout. She didn't win gold, but she won that bout. And that was pretty cool.
I think we're going to start that on here. Just random screaming.
It was wild. I'm not going to imitate you because that would be terrifying for anybody who's running right now. But go watch a fencing match if you've never watched it. And it is, it looks kind of cathartic. I don't know.
I will say, before we move on, one of the coolest things about this Olympics for me, and my mom always loved the Olympics. She always kind of had it on when it went on, and it was kind of, she enjoyed that 2 weeks. So I've grown up with it, and I do look forward to it. But having Lauren here in track and field, the one thing that I never followed or paid attention to was, like, several weeks before the Olympics, when the U.S. has on their qualifying races, what's it called?
Olympic trials.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's not something that people really pay much attention to. They want to see the big show and see the Olympics, it was kind of, I don't know if it's live on NBC or whatever. I think it is. Anyway, she found it. She had us watching it, and it was almost more exciting than these finals races in the Olympics, because for one, it's just U.S. people racing against each other, but you learn who's who and who you're going to root for and who does good and then who makes it through, gets the time to go to the Olympics. Anybody that doesn't watch that preliminary stuff before the Olympics, I highly recommend it, because it made myself more vested into the Olympics itself and the athletes themselves.
Yeah, hot take, but I do like I did really like the Olympic trials more than the Olympics themselves. It was super fun to follow, and it's like, I feel like it's even more suspenseful because, like, they're trying to make the team, not just medal. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
yeah, there's huge upsets, basically. Yeah. Like, you see the people that make it to the Olympics. We've been talking about the big names and who they are, but there were some other ones that should have went there and weren't there, type of thing, you know? And you don't really know that unless you watch those.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. You know, the trials are not always on, you know, take something like the marathon, you can have a very different skill set being good at a flat, fast marathon versus a very hilly marathon. And this was a really hilly course. And so, you know, I think it made sense for the folks who wanted to win, but I didn't watch the trials for the marathon. I listened to some of the comments afterwards, but you know, the trials aren't always on a similar course with similar conditions. So who knows who would have done better if it had been different.
Yeah. So let's move to the marathon now. So Dakota Lindworm got, I think, 12th, if I can remember that off the top of my head. She placed third at the Olympic trials and was our top American at the Olympics. So that was exciting. Our Fiona O'Keefe, who won the Olympic trials, She did not make it very far into the race before dropping out due to an injury. She was working all week before it to be able to run on it. And like by the time that she realized she wasn't going to be able to compete very well, it was just past the deadline to replace her with an alternate. Like, there was some controversy about that, but she simply was doing everything she could with the injury, and it was too late. So she started the race, and I like didn't really make it very far at all. So that was the woman's. And then, yes, the finish was crazy. Sprint finish, like major sprint finish. There was some like shoving. It was crazy.
Yeah. And Safwan Hassan, if you haven't heard any of, I'm sure you listened to some of the stuff afterwards when she was interviewed. I mean, just what a sweet person. Everything that she said was everything that every normal person says. And it just makes you feel like, because she was going on, she had said, I never cry. And I found myself crying. she was just really fun to listen to.
Yeah, she's an older interview, and she's just talking about, she's like, why am I this dumb? Why do I run these distances? Why do I choose to do this? Like,
Yeah, it was so great. And I was like, aw, she's so normal. I love that. She was a lot of fun to listen to. You were talking about how one of our athletes came in with an injury. That was the other thing about the men's shot put. And I forget the guy's name, but he could not throw at all coming into trials. He was about ready to get into trials and it was not looking good. He actually made it into the trials, made it in, but he was dealing with injury before that. And good on him for like rehabbing it and dealing with it and then walking away with a third gold medal. So, you know, injuries happen to everybody. And sometimes you just got to take care of it. And he was coming into, I felt good about it. I'm coming into my upcoming race, probably a little less trained than I would have hoped. I just had a lot going on. And, you know, when it comes between race directing or my own race, I usually choose race directing. So I'm coming in a little bit undertrained for my race. And I appreciated hearing that he was coming into it. He felt like a little undertrained and he was able to push it on the big day and then grab that gold. So good on him. Did you watch men's marathon?
I did not watch it, but I do know the results because of Instagram. I spend most of my time on Instagram. Yeah, we had Connor Mance and Clayton Young got 8th and 9th. They are both very young. Like that was really, that was a really good for them. And then I don't know where a third place finished. She did finish, but I don't know where. Kipchoge did not finish. That was crazy.
What happened?
He stepped off, I think, due to injury. And as like he is getting older, he is on the way out of his racing. The only thing he really said about like for comments afterwards was that he will not be back at the next Olympics.
Yeah, it's probably time.
He said he'll be at the Olympics. He'll be doing something at the Olympics, watching, cheering, not race.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think we saw that one come in, and he still opened a lot of doors for other young men and to do really well. And now he's not a young man anymore. Time for him to be done. But yeah, women or the men's marathon field, we usually don't do as well. To have two people in the top 10, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And in race walking is super crazy. If you guys don't know, they walk like 6 minute miles.
Yeah.
It's like actually crazy, but the US didn't send anybody. So. Because it's like, there's like a time standard you have to hit or world ranking. So even if they win the Olympic, like we've had the race walk in the Olympic trials. So there are people that got like first, second, and third in the Olympic trials, but they still don't get to go to the Olympics because of this time standards and world rankings, which also is really weird and causes a lot of controversy over the Olympic trials because yeah. in a couple situations, like third place didn't go, but fourth place did, because fourth place had the world ranking.
Wow. And
third place didn't get the time or the world ranking, because like the world rankings have to do with like how many races you race throughout mm-hmm. the season and like everything. It's really weird, but yeah. like that caused a lot of controversy. It's like, why are we even holding the Olympic trials? Mm-hmm. Doesn't actually matter. Fourth place can yeah. go, but third place has to stay home.
So. Yeah, and we saw this coming out of COVID, and there was a lot of discussion about this because there were some amazing performances, and part of it is because some of these very strong athletes weren't racing constantly because a lot of them, they're also looped into these sponsorship deals where they have to race so many races, and it really puts a toll on your body when you have to race so many and you're expected to win every time. And so, I think we still have a little ways to go. But I think we're starting to figure some things out, you know, with Simone Biles sitting out in the last Olympics for mental health reasons, coming back and winning all those golds. I see a trend toward recovery. I think that's a good thing, too. And I also love some of the other stuff happen. Alana Mayer, can we talk about her? Yes. I love the red lipstick.
Yes.
I think it's awesome.
Yes. And just like how strong she is. Like, she has big arms. She's just so strong. Mm-hmm. And that is really nice to see on, like, social media. So
yeah. I love.
She has such, like, a big followers on Instagram. It's crazy. And she brought a lot of publicity to, what's the sport? I don't even.
Rugby.
Rugby. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
She brought a lot of publicity to rugby. So.
Yeah, which I love. My Jason's cousin, she was a rugby player for Temple. And so we saw a little bit of rugby. And it's like imagine football, but with no padding. Mm-hmm. it is an intense sport. Those women are intense. It is such a fun sport to watch. And I love the attention coming over to rugby. I love that she's bringing in giant shoulders and also red lipstick. Like it's so much fun. I love all the attention that she's bringing to rugby and the U.S. team. Now, I will say this. U.S. team took bronze, which is the first time we've medaled in rugby. Mm-hmm. And in the media, they were like, oh, first time we've medaled in rugby in 100 years. Well, rugby wasn't in the Olympics for a long time, and it didn't come back until 2014. So that was kind of like, I don't know. I'd say that. It existed in like 1904, and then they got rid of it for like 70 or 80 years. But still, the women's U.S. team got bronze, which is phenomenal because it's not as big of a sport here in the U.S. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. And then let's see. I also watched some kayaking. I thought that was super cool.
Wild.
Yeah. They go like. They could go like down the stream and they have to go like around the poles, and it's crazy.
It was so crazy. I'd never seen that before. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but it looks crazy. And they have to do so many flips under the water.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. Back to the 1500 really quickly. 1500, the men's, they had, it was like Cole Hawker, Josh Kerr, Negus, right. and Ingebrigtsen, and they are all racing again. In not that long at a Diamond League meet. So if you are able to follow that, you should follow that because it'll be interesting now that they've all raced against each other to see what happens at the rematch.
Oh, man. People have – there's some agendas, each one of them. Each one of them's got a different agenda. So I am excited to hear about that. You'll have to let us know when it is so we can check it out.
All right, come on, you guys. We got to shut it down. I'm sorry.
I love talking about this stuff. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about the Olympics with me.
Yes, thank you for letting me come on here and yap about the Olympics.
And you have been, you've also had some phenomenal riding in the past year, so congratulations to you. It was cool to have you on about something totally different aside from your own running career because it has been going so well. But I know lots of people are following all the cool stuff that you're doing, all the cool stuff that your sister Casey's doing as well. So it's cool to watch both of you you know, go after it. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're entering a new cross-country season. Our first meet is in 8 days, next Tuesday. So,
are you ready?
Yes, totally.
Nice. You thought she was good last year. Wait till this year. You want to throw out your Instagram handle, Lauren?
It's Lauren_Kosek. Me, something like that. I don't know. Look me up. You'll find me. It's my name.
We will all follow along and be sure to give you plenty of shout outs and cheers along the way.
Thank you.
Lauren, what are you doing this weekend?
We start school on Monday. So I don't plan to do much this weekend. I plan to chill and get ready for school and that type of thing.
Get a long run
and get a long run in. But other than that, do we have any plans? I don't think we do.
No, we were planning on camping, but all the sites are booked. So,
You got plenty of fun trails and you can hang in the backyard. And
be all right. You know, Grace, you made me promise you I would have a big adventure planned or something, didn't you?
I sure did. I gave you that challenge to find something to do. And you had a lot of ideas. You posted about it in the Facebook group. You had a lot of ideas come at you. And I want to hear, did you settle in on something?
Well, I mean, there's stuff that I already had and it's still there and I'm still going to put it out there. I'm still going to go for the mid-state FKT in the spring is my plan. I was looking at an interesting, we got to finish this up real quick, but I was looking at an interesting course and I'll call it the V, and it would be starting at the northernmost section of the AT in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. doing the complete AT, mm-hmm. running a quick 70 miles over to the mid-state and mm-hmm. then going south to north on mid-state, finishing at the New York line, which would be a total of 600 and some odd miles.
Wow.
With a lot of vert. But it's doable and no one's ever done it. I'm just saying.
I love it.
I know. I thought I love it. Yeah. I like it. And so, I mean, basically it forms a V in Pennsylvania.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's it. I did not sign up for any races. I'm not committing to any races. I'm just not there. And there's nothing right now that I can do with cross country in the fall. So mid-state is still on my radar.
Lovely. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
I took it very seriously what you said, and I've been thinking about it all week. I need a little more time, but I'm there and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. I think it takes a lot of planning. I just finished listening to the book A Walk in the Park. And have you heard about this one? It's newer. Oh, Lauren, you might be able to check this one out. It's these couple of guys who walk the entire length of the Grand Canyon.
Mm.
And it's pretty cool. They go into the history of it, about other people who have attempted to do it and what defines the beginning and the actual end of the Grand Canyon. It was a good reminder for me as I head into some stuff that I want to do in the next year, that really a lot of what goes into the big stuff like that is just planning. And I think good on you for setting your sights on something really big like that and kind of sitting back and saying, I'm just going to simmer on it and plan, because the more you plan, the better off. The more room you have, I think, to deal with the unexpected, which is always going to happen.
Right. Absolutely. What are you doing this weekend, Grace?
Baker 50 miler.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Have fun with that.
Thanks. I'm excited to get on a trail that I've never been on before. Not as much training as I had hoped, but I'm hoping the course itself is forgiving enough and the time limit is forgiving enough. And I have a very strong crew. So between those things, and I've done plenty of 50 milers before, I'm hoping it all comes together and I can just have a fun day.
Good. Well, while you're out there, find some people to talk about the race on next week's show.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Cool. Well, good luck. I'm sure you'll do fine. And we look forward to hearing all about it. And thank you, everybody else, for tuning in.
Yeah, tune in again every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Find us on the Facebooks and the Grams and the YouTubes and subscribe and give us all the likes and the comments and the cheers and tell us we're pretty and we're smart and you like us.
Aw, tell me I'm pretty, Grace.
You are pretty, aww, both of you.
All right, see you next week, peeps. Take us out, Grace.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.